Our call to worship this morning is 171. There's just something about that name.
Heavenly Father, as we gather in your name, we humbly seek your divine guidance during this worship service. Be the beacon that illuminates our path, the compass that directs our hearts, and the wisdom that guides our thoughts. May your presence be felt in every word spoken and every note sung. We trust in your infinite wisdom, and we pray for your guidance to lead us on the righteous path. May your light shine upon us, O Lord, as we navigate the challenges of life. Grant us the clarity of vision to see your will and the strength to follow it. In your holy name, we offer our gratitude and we say, Amen.
Join us now in hymn number 89, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
Thank you.
today's responsive. Leader, beloved, the voice of wisdom calls to us from the street corner, the grocery store aisle, the noisy dinner table, and the quiet places in our hearts. Will you listen?
Yes, with God's help, we will listen.
Wisdom calls to us with hard truths, showing us where we've strayed in our hearts, and as a community, urging us back into God's path. Will you follow?
Yes, with God's help, we will follow.
Wisdom's call persists through twists and turns, the rough patches, and the barely visible path forward, and the moments we feel completely lost. Will you hold on to wisdom wherever she takes you?
Yes, with God's help, we will hold on to wisdom.
Then, beloved, let us worship God together as we cling to wisdom on our journey along the path of salvation, paved with God's love.
Yes, let us worship God together. Amen.
Amen. Joys or concerns for today? I know I'd like to say that I'm glad to see that Wanda was back in the office last week. You know, I saw her and talked to her, and she's doing better. Not 100%, but she's doing better. So, anybody else have any joys, concerns? Boy, you make my life easy 2 weeks in a row. Heavenly Father, we long for wisdom, O Lord, but prefer that it be our own. We turn away from the ideas of others and ignore the possibility and promise that come from life together with you. Most of all, we drown out our gift of wisdom as she seeks to get our attention, for we believe that we know better, or would prefer to decide where we make her welcome. Forgive us, loving God. Bring an end to the self-righteousness that ignores you, and awaken us anew to the wisdom that comes only from you. Show us how to walk in your ways and listen to your promise each and every day. Let us now pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Am I forgetting something? Would the ushers come forth, please? Divine source of wisdom, we bring these offerings with hearts attuned to your call. As we gather in your presence, may our gifts reflect the wisdom and vision you desire for us. Use these offerings to nurture understanding, compassion, and justice in our world. Guide us to listen and act with insight, spreading your love and grace. Transform our giving into actions that make a difference. Help us grow in our faith and commitment to your ways. In the holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you.
please sing hymn number 369, Blessed Assurance.
Today's scripture is from Proverbs 1, verses 20 to 33. Wisdom shouts in the street. In the public square, she raises her voice. Above the noisy crowd, she calls out. At the entrances of the city gates, she has her say. How long will clueless people love your naivete? Mockers hold their mocking dear, and fools hate knowledge. You should respond when I correct you. Look, I'll pour out my spirit on you. I'll reveal my words to you. I invited you, but you rejected me. I stretched out my hand to you, but you paid no attention. You ignored all my advice, and you didn't want me to correct you. So I'll laugh at your disaster. I'll make fun of you when dread comes over you, when terror hits you like a hurricane, and your disaster comes in like a tornado when distress and oppression overcome you. Then they will call me, but I won't answer. They will seek me, but not find me, because they hated knowledge and didn't choose the fear of the Lord. They didn't want my advice. They rejected all my corrections. They will eat from the fruit of their way, and they'll be full of their own schemes. The immature will die because they turn away. Smugness will destroy fools. Those who obey me will dwell securely, untroubled by the dread of harm. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Okay, well, today we're going to continue on talking about wisdom. It's a four-part series, so next week should end it. I don't know about you, but it's beginning to get a little bit old, but, well, it's an important topic. So So last week we learned that having wisdom and deciding of the right course of action involves several different inputs, all of which may not apply to any given situation. We learned how to use wisdom to make an informed choice as to which path to take. Now that we know the right thing to do, we're all set, right? We know what we have to do. We've made our choice. Well, I must tell you, the hard part comes next, because yes, we now know the right choice to follow, but that's only half the battle. The hard part is deciding whether you're going to follow that right, correct choice or follow another's based on your own wants, perceived needs, or personal desires. Let's face it, the correct choice, which will keep you on God's path for you, is not always the easiest or the most desirable choice for you to choose. Making the right choice often can cause you to lose out on your own wants, perceived needs, or personal desires. There are almost always accommodations that can be made to aid in making the right choice. An example would be, you have a vacation or business trip that will make it impossible to end services at your church. However, you can always plan on attending Sunday services at a church where you will be. I've often had to make use of this option myself. Actually, it was the other way around. I actually started going to the Methodist church when I was away working in South Carolina, and I wound up having to make arrangements to go to another church when I came here back home. There's always options you can look into. There are times that making the right choice may require you to reject the normal right choice and opt for what would normally be the lesser choice. An example of this would be that normally the right choice would be to attend services on Sunday and make that a priority. However, if a family member or a loved one should be in a hospital with serious illness or injury, I mean, the right choice then would obviously for you to be with them for support. So there are always choices to be made. They're not always easy. And sometimes what looks like the right one may not necessarily be that. It's something you have to decide, think about, look over, and make the choice. In Proverbs 1, we are told that wisdom is not meek or mild. She is not gentle and discreet. She is forthright. She tells the truth. She knows the way we ought to go. Making the wrong or bad choice will always have consequences. In some cases, the consequence is your acceptance of the fact that you will have to answer for these bad choices in the afterlife as you face judgment. In the worst case, you will cause harm not only to yourself, but to one or more other people. A real unfortunate fact, and we discussed this last week, is that it may take only one person making multiple wrong decisions to affect the lives of a great number of people. Good people can make bad or wrong choices just as easily as bad people can. Making a wrong choice does not necessarily make you a bad person. However, a person who consistently and knowingly makes wrong choices that affect a great number of people's lives, such as those that live a life of crime, should be considered to be outcasts from both civilized society and from the Christian faith. Making the right choice is a personal decision, and as stated before, it's based on several inputs. Multiple people faced with the same situation will possibly make choices different from each other, and what input they lean the heaviest on will have great value in their making their decision. We as Christians need to base our decisions on God's word as given to us in the Bible and on the actions and teaching of Jesus as he walked the earth. And if they are not conflict with God's law, then men's laws are also a consideration. All these things need to be taken into account when you decide to, number one, decide what the right decision is, and number two, then make the harder decision to determine which one you're going to pick. One of the inputs we use in making a choice might be the personal lives and experience of others. This is a mixed blessing, in that we need to be very aware of and careful to avoid making a choice based on another person or group's wrong decisions or actions. This includes making choices simply to fit in or due to peer pressure, regardless if the decisions are right or wrong. Now, it is an unfortunate fact, and I think we all know it, that no matter how many possible choices there are to choose from in making a decision, the right choice is often the least desirable one to choose. It's probably going to be the hardest one to deal with and to act and to live out and to do. Our Heavenly Father gave us the ability to make our own choices in our lives. We can either use this gift of choice to follow God's path for us, or to wander away from that past and become lost in the temptations existing in the world around us. Now, speaking of temptations, I believe there's another factor to be discussed with making the decision to choose the right path or the wrong path when choosing which action you decide to follow. As much as we have our Heavenly Father caring for and watching out for us, there is another influence on our behavior lurking among us. We know this influence is Satan, or the devil and his minions. And they're a perfect example of pure evil. Their prime mission is to look for and prey upon the world's population, looking to corrupt souls to their evil ways and desires. They create temptations for man, and their temptations are often based on greed, envy, lust, etc. Their playbook consists of creating situations or conditions whereby mankind is tempted to sin by enticing a person with apparent rewards or benefits to be gained while living life on this earth, and neglecting to address the effect these actions will have in the afterlife. As God is everywhere doing good for his children, Satan and his minions are also constantly around us looking for ways to influence weak and susceptible people to his ways and influencing them to cause trouble, mayhem, and havoc among us. The key to avoid being influenced by Satan is simple. Maintain a strong faith in your Christian beliefs, pray to our heavenly guidance for Father, and ask for him to fill you with the Holy Spirit to strengthen your resolve to resist the temptation Satan presents us with. Remember, the difference between Satan's rewards for us and God's rewards for us. Satan promises us easy living and rewards for our lifestyle and pleasures on earth, with negative consequences in the afterlife. Whereas our Heavenly Father promises us, if we live our lives according to his chosen path for us, which may not be the easiest lifestyle here on earth, we will be rewarded with an eternal life in his kingdom as our reward. The best way to consistently make the choice to follow the right path is to strive to live our lives as Christians every minute of every day. We need to embed Christian values in our everyday lifestyles all the days of our lives, not just when attending services at church. To be a Christian means to live, talk, and act like a Christian every day of our lives. I think that's something we've heard many times. I know I have in the last 6 weeks. I mean, being a Christian is not just being here on a Sunday. It's not trying to do things to earn favor or for goodwill. It's something you need to embed in our lives. We need to make it part of our normal actions and routines. We don't need to make it something extra that we really have to think about to look, act, and talk as a Christian. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Stand, please. Our closing hymn is number 337, Only Trust Him. I just have to share with you, you should come up here sometime. And when I look back there and I see all my church family, you just can't imagine how it makes my heart feel. I also look out in this congregation and I see those who have gone before us, one of my family, and again, lots of my church friends. But keep that in mind that yes, you are my church friends. And I want to share that so many times in my life, if I had not been here, I think, on Sunday to see you, sometimes to speak to you, I'm not sure how my next week would have gone. So, again, thank you for being here this morning.
Thank you. Brothers and sisters, may you be blessed with a holy resolve to hold tight to wisdom wherever she may guide you, knowing that wisdom will always lead you down the path of God's love. Let us leave this holy place in peace and spread all that we have learned today to the world around through the coming week. Amen.